the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. And baptize everyone.
Yes, this power from heaven descended with the sound of a rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would send.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Yes, this old time
power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised to believers, and we all may. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Yes, this power from heaven descended
with the sound of a rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would sing. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were true.
This is promised to believers, and we all may have it too.
So,
Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone.
And all.
Well, welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. Man, I love every Saturday bringing you this great broadcast. And I want to welcome people all over the world. I don't know whether you understand this or not. Many of my listeners, some are by radio, some are by internet, and some are by Facebook. Three different venues there going out. And so we really are going all over the globe. And welcome to you in African countries, in Asian countries, Northern Russia and any of those countries, Canada, South America, Africa. We welcome you everywhere around the globe. God bless you. Well, we got a great broadcast today, and I really want you to enjoy this. I think you will like what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Holy Ghost tongues. Is it devilish or is it divine? That is a good subject, and I've been a Pentecostal now for 67 years, actually 65 years since I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, it is a wonderful subject to study. It's a wonderful subject to get your life in the middle of. And let me say something very important. The power of God, the power of the Father, and the power of Jesus Christ is manifest in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in your church, then your church is just a social order. Your church is just doing secular things and maybe religious things, but religious but secular in essence. And so there's no supernatural power. There's no God demonstration. There's no biblical revelation. You can't have none of that save the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are nine gifts. We know those nine gifts are supernaturals. The actual word in the original language of the Hebrews, well, they were called supernaturals. Gifts, yes, they are. They're not gifts given to you, but gifts rather in the auspices of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit divides them severally as he will. And one gift can operate in one person and a different gift in another. But all of them are divine. And it's wonderful to study church history, because every time there's been a Holy Ghost visitation, there's been a great revival. And every time there's been a great awakening or a great revival, there was a Holy Ghost visitation. There's no such thing as revival without the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as a heavenly visitation without the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The day of Pentecost was not just a fancy name. It was not just some pretty experience. It was real. It was genuine. And it was meant to continue until the rapture of the church. There's no such thing, as the Holy Spirit ending his ministry. He will be with us always, the Bible said, unto the end of the world, the end of this age. My friend, that is extremely important. So, Holy Ghost visitation, divine or devilish. Now, you know something I really want today? I want you to be involved with me. I want us to get the phones busy today, and I want you literally to be on the phone line with me, as you will. Let me put up those numbers if I might. If I don't miss something here, sometimes I miss things and put up the wrong thing. There's the numbers, and you can write them down. You can even send an email, of course. But the two numbers at top, you can call 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number is anywhere in America or Canada. The next number is an international number. You can call me from anywhere in the world, okay? I want to hear from you. I really want your questions. I really want to get involved with you in discussing this wonderful subject. Now, I don't know of any subject I could discuss with you that's more wonderful and more a blessing than this subject. It really is an overwhelming truth. Holy Ghost tongues, divine or devilish. And of course, we could say the Holy Ghost gifts, divine or devilish. But I just have this one statement I can put up for you to read. And so I want to hear from you. Holy Ghost gifts, divine or devilish. Is your church filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there a movement of the Holy Ghost in your church? Does your pastor get anointed so that he actually prophesies in the power of the Holy Ghost when he preaches the word of God? Is there power in his message? I mean, I love anointed preaching. I don't know anything in the world I'd rather hear than an anointed sermon. I just plain love them. I just plain love an anointed sermon. And I'm telling you, you won't hear many anointed sermons without you falling in love with them. Because it's thrilling. It's exciting. It feeds the soul. It feeds the inner man. It builds you up. The Bible says, and God said this, that he has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, we're not talking about just preaching, just human activity. We're talking about an anointed sermon, a sermon that's anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's when preaching becomes enjoyable. And that's when your soul gets fed and you become a built-up Christian and your life begins to grow in the things of God. Now, let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, okay? The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Let me read you something that I hope will get your attention. This is Apostle Paul. Everybody knows the name Apostle Paul. If you're acquainted with the Bible, you know that if there was a spokesman that really brought us great revelations from God, nobody can beat Apostle Paul. He wrote 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Now listen, now concerning spiritual gifts, notice that. Now concerning spiritual gifts, that's the 12 spirituals, the 12 supernatural gifts. Now, concerning those gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, I got to spend a moment there. Nobody listening to me, does God want you to be ignorant about these gifts of the Holy Ghost? If you are ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then you are going to know little about God, and you're going to experience even less about God, because the Holy Spirit is the supernatural power that communicates from God to the human spirit. Your spirit has to have an anointing of the Holy Spirit before it can receive the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're helpless. You're helpless. The reason there's no healings and miracles in the church, because there's no visitation of the Holy Spirit. They are ignorant concerning the gifts. Notice that. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. He used the word ignorant, not Brother Chambers. The Holy Spirit used the word ignorant. If you don't understand the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says you are ignorant about these revelations of God's gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of Christ or Spirit of God called of Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But by the Holy Ghost. He uses the term Holy Ghost, you understand? And you cannot know the things of God. You cannot know the Spirit of God. You cannot know the miracles of God if you're not acquainted with the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Holy Spirit has no right of access and direction of ministry in your life needs to be open to the Holy Spirit. Your life needs to be open to the visitation of God upon your mind, upon your thoughts, upon your conduct. It's beautiful when you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are differences, diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. So here he mentions the Holy Spirit, he mentions the Lord Jesus, and he mentions the Father. So the Trinity of God is actively involved in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking for God. The Holy Spirit is conducting his activity for Jesus Christ. It's all done under God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And then he names those nine supernaturals. Now, these are supernaturals. That means they are above the natural. They're not just natural. They're not just paranormal. They're supernatural. They're not just natural. They're not just paranormal. They're supernatural. You understand the term supernatural. I think you do. Let me help you. The term supernatural means above human ability, above the natural realm, bigger and better and greater and awesomely above the natural realm. And it's available to every believer. There's no such thing as believers who can't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's your fault. It's your responsibility. You say, he just won't fill me with the Holy Ghost. Well, you haven't become available to him to fill with the Holy Ghost. He can only fill you when you become available. I want to tell you something. When you are fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when you are under his auspices, and you have prayed until your heart and life is sold out to God, you cannot stop the Holy Spirit from coming in your life. He's looking for vessels he can fill. He's looking for lives he can overshadow. And he'll do it if you give him a chance. You say, oh, I've given him a chance. No, you haven't. You're going to put no blame on God when it comes to his promises. His promises are yea and amen. And they cannot be denied. And they cannot be unexperienced when you become available. Come on, hear me now. When you become available, I love you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking to you. I'm telling you what is yours in the Lord. I'm amazed at how far beneath the promises of God the church today is living. I'm amazed at far beneath, far under the plan that the Bible has given us that the church world is living. Come on, get up here on God's level. Get up here on God's plan. Get up here in the middle of the Bible. Let the Bible take over the premise of your life and rule you. And he will give you everything that's his. Everything that's his. The promises of God, yea and amen. And I want you to have them. Now, Brother Chambers is your friend. And I never preach anything but the straight truth to you. Let me name these nine gifts. One of them is the word of wisdom. and then the word of knowledge, and then the gift of faith, then the gifts of healing, then the working of miracles, then prophecy, then the discerning of spirits, and then tongues, the gift of tongues, and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. 9 supernatural gifts, all of them available to every one of you sitting under the sound of my voice. Let me read that to you. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit that man or woman. Understand, he's not talking about just the male species. He's talking about the male and female species. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit. Notice that word profit. It's a profit to you. It is a blessing to you. I tell you, I remember when I received the baptism, I was 18, maybe 17, between 17 and 18. I was in a tent meeting, and I was praying, kneeling in sawdust. Think about that, kneeling in sawdust. And I said that night as just a young kid, and I was so country and backward and uneducated. I mean, everything that you could think about, a little dumb farm boy. And the Spirit of God possessed me that night. I began to speak in a language I'd never learned. I couldn't even speak English decent. And here I was talking in a heavenly tongue as God filled me with the Holy Spirit. Filled me with the Holy Spirit. Someone says that's devilish. Well, it sure did turn my life around. It sure did turn my life upside down. It sure did make a gentleman out of me. It sure did lift me out of my uneducated ignorance into the realm of the Bible, into the realm of a Christian life, walking with God and living for Christ. Oh, I'm telling you, it is wonderful when the Holy Spirit fills you with His presence. It's really the presence of the Holy Spirit possessing your spirit. You know, you do have a spirit, every one of us. You have a spirit, and He possesses your spirit. He comes in, takes up His abode. Now, when you get saved, He actually comes. He comes to dwell with you the moment you get saved. When you really get saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit has you. Okay, there's a Baptist preacher that said that great statement. I want to say his name, it didn't come out. But a great noted Baptist minister. He said, when I was saved, I had the Holy Spirit. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, He had me. And that is the difference. The difference between Him dwelling in me and Him possessing me and controlling me and me being yielded to Him. And it's been a growing process. That's been 65 years, somewhere between the two. And I'm still growing. I'm still maturing. I'm still getting closer. I'm still becoming more dedicated. I still understand more. I still have more revelations from the Bible. It's just a wonderful life. A wonderful life. Now, I want you, I really want you to call me, because I want to answer some questions today. I used to have a lot more calls, and sometimes I don't think people are as concerned about Bible understanding today. I want you to understand the Bible. I want you to know what the Scripture says. I don't want you to take my word. I want you to take God's word. I want the Bible to talk to you. So here's the numbers again, okay? I've already put them up one time. I'm going to give them to you again, okay? Now quickly, write them down. Write them down, because I'm not going to leave them up. Oh, I'm sorry. I put up the wrong thing there. Let me do this. All right, here we come. Numbers, all right, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Write them down now, because I want you to call. I want to have one call after the other talking about these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, I'm depending on you to call me, and I want you to know, we're talking about the Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Ghost anointing, and we're talking about tongues. We'll talk about that, but that's not the only subject today. The gifts, the 9 gifts, supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love it when I get involved in studying something like this, and I get you involved. See, I'm not happy just to sit here and talk to you, and you're not involved in helping me answer what you are in need of having, what you are in need of, what the Bible says. People really can give you a hard time when you stand up on the Bible like I do. You do know that our world today doesn't want me to talk about these things to you. Much of the world wants to tell you what they want to hear, and then they want you to shut up and let them tell you, and you just believe what they say. Well, that's not what we Christians do. We Christians have a Bible, and it's an infallible book. It is absolutely infallible, and we believe it. And we know it's so vast, it's so great, and there's so much in it that there's never any end to preaching it. You just keep on learning, and you keep on preaching, and you keep on believing. And that's what I do. I just keep on learning and preaching and believing. I put up something on Facebook last night. It was nearly midnight. We had a great event here with young people, a sleep-in, they call it, and had a big crowd, close to 100 kids and young people. And it was really wonderful. It was really grand. I was right in the middle of it. I'm just young as any of them. They don't think I am, and sometimes they want the old man to go somewhere and be quiet, but I ain't going nowhere, and I ain't going to be quiet, you know? I'm going to be in the middle of it. I've worked as hard as any of them have to have this opportunity, and I'm going to be in the middle of it. You understand? And I love it. Love every bit of it, and I want you to be blessed by it. I wish your children were involved in it. I wish we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more. I'd like to fill that sanctuary, hold about 600. With boys and girls, young people who want to grow in the Lord, and they want to become real servants of Christ, and they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they want to learn the Bible and be good preachers and be great singers and be great Sunday school teachers and Christian school teachers and grow in the things of God. That's what I want for you. I don't want you to be, an idle person. And I welcome you. You were talking about visiting a great church, Paul Creek. Is, I think, one of the best right here in Charlotte, Tuckasegee Road, 5110 Tuckasegee. Same number that you call to get this program. You can call to get direction, get guidance, get help. We even have a prayer line. You can call the prayer line. And I changed it today and put a fresh prayer to bless you all over the globe. Oh, we're here to be a blessing. Man, we are here to be a blessing. I love being a blessing. Now, get on your phones. Don't play games with me now. Get on your phone and help me answer your question. Help me with that thing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit you don't understand. People may ask, do you receive, when you receive the Holy Spirit, does everybody speak in tongues that receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I like to answer that question. Okay, I could answer right now, but I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait for you to call me. And then somebody's going to say, well, prove it to me. Well, then I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. I don't mean just a little jabber. I don't mean some kind of stuff that you just, you pull up out of your imagination. I mean the Holy Spirit pouring through you a language that's straight back to Him. You know, when you speak in unknown tongues, you're actually talking to God on His throne. Now, I want you to hear that. That's going to mess up some of your mind. I know. Woo! Somebody's going to fuss about that. When you speak, when you pray in unknown tongues, you are praying directly to God. And the Holy Spirit in you is given the message that you are asking God about. And you're praying to God for. And the request you're making to God, the Holy Spirit is putting that burden in you and anointing you to pray to the Father straight through the line. You know, the president can talk to Putin in Russia direct at any time. They have a straight line between the two of them. Nobody else can get in on that line. Nobody else can talk on that line. It's between Putin and Trump. And we have a line straight to God, and nobody can get on that line but you and I. Now, I can get on it, and it's separate between me and God. It's individual. You can't hear what God and I say to one another in the language of understanding. And same with you. And so when you talk or pray in unknown tongues, you're praying straight to God. You know, I don't believe that. Well, let me read it to you in the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? No, some of you don't, but a lot of you do. And if you do, okay, let me read it to you. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. How be it? Now listen to this. How be it? For no man understandeth it. Let me finish the first part. For no man understandeth it. How be it? In the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. In the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He that speaketh prayeth in an unknown tongue, prayeth directly to God. In the throne room, in the heavenly city, in the heavenly temple, millions of miles away, when you speak and pray in unknown tongues, you're talking to God at that very moment. Straight to God, straight into the heavenly temple. You say, Brother Chambers, that's insanity. Well, it is to people who don't believe the Bible. I understand that. It sounds awesome, don't it? It really sounds awesome. They'll say that I can sit here, and I've done it this morning. I was about 12 o'clock. We come on at 1. This is Eastern Standard Time. About 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I just sitting here, and I thought, I need to just talk to my Father a little bit. And so I begin to talk to God in prayer. And I'm telling you, it won't seconds until I knew I was talking to God. It was the sweetest thing. It was so transforming. Some days ago, I was laying in the bed at night, wasn't sleeping well. About 12 o'clock, I woke up, and the Spirit of the Lord came in my room. I thought maybe he was going to take me to heaven. I'm ready to go. Well, I'm ready to go. But he left me because I had too much to do. Too much work I haven't done yet. He's not through with me. I'm only 82. What are you talking about? Don't go to looking at me like I'm old. Quit it. Quit it. I'm just a young man loving God with all my heart. You know, Moses really started his ministry at 80, and then he was busy for 40 years. He didn't get through until he was 120. And God got him, buddy. God took him home. God even buried him. He didn't let nobody else bury that man. He buried him himself. Because he talked to God. Now, I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. It's really real. It's awesome. It's awesome. Anybody out there can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you've been sanctified by the blood. You've got the world that has been turned off of your life. And you've cleaned up your act. You gave up all your smoking and drinking and cussing and swearing. Because Jesus washed you in the blood and made a new creature out of you. And now you're clean and you're pure. Not by your power, not by your goodness, but by the Holy Spirit. You're clean and you're powerless and you belong to Him. The Holy Ghost has 9 supernatural powers that emanate from Him. They come from Him. They don't come from nowhere else. They come from God by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the transition from God into your life. What a picture that is. He possesses these 9 mighty anointings to distribute them in his church. He puts these in his church. He distributes them to his church. One person maybe gives a message in tongues and someone else gives an interpretation. It must be done in order. It cannot be done like a bunch of confusion. You can't have 2 or 3 people giving a message at the same time. You can't have 2 or 3 people giving the interpretation at the same time. And in any given church service, there can only be 1 interpreter. If there's more than 1 gift given during that 1 service, the same person must give the translation, the interpretation. It's beautiful. It's orderly. I've seen it operating in places where there's 10 to 20,000 people. And it would be just as orderly and just as beautiful because the Holy Spirit's never disorderly. He don't ever get into some kind of maze of confusion. He moves in a way that's tender and beautiful and harmonious and orderly. And he does it to make your life sweeter and richer and more wonderful in the things of God. I hope you understand that. Now, almost half of my time's gone. I'm still waiting on your calls to start coming. It usually takes about 30 minutes now to get people ringing the phone. So get on your line and let me hear your question. Prove to me, Brother Chambers, that everybody who gets the baptism speak in tongues. I'll be glad to prove that to you. I'll be delighted. I'd love it. I'd love it. So give a call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And then we have a toll-free number, 1-800-33-TRUTH, 1-800-33-TRUTH. Let me give you that to you simple, 1-800-338-7884, okay? Now grab your phone. I want to help you. We need several million people to get refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and to get under the fire anointing of the gifts of the Spirit and turn the church upside down. The church has become dead. The church is like a sleeping situation. The saints sat in the sanctuary and warm pews. I said this week, preachers pray like they're 9/10 dead, and then they get up in the pulpit and the people are worshiping like they pray, and they're fussing because the people are worshiping like they're 9/10 dead, or maybe I should say 99/100 time or cents dead. And that's how most people worship today. Worship has become dead. You know why? You know why churches are turning to rock music, contemporary music, strobe lights, doing all kinds of crazy things because they can't get your attention no other way. Well, it's their fault. If they'd pray until they got full of the Holy Ghost, they could get your attention. You can fill a church up when the Holy Ghost starts moving, and that's what we're going to do. That's what we're striving at right now. That's why we're praying 5:30 and 6 o'clock every morning, inviting everybody to pray with us because we want a sovereign outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You go back and read about the great revival here in America. There's been some great revivals in America. I mean, revivals that turned this nation around, turned this nation back to God. I get amazed when I read about the revival that took place at Yale University. Yale University, the turn of the 19th, well, I guess it would be the 20th century, the turn of the 20th century, about 1900, 1905, 6, right along there, the Holy Ghost fell at the Yale University. The Yale University. And that place became a place of Holy Ghost revival for a number of years. And people would travel from all over America to be in the revival at the Yale University. Say that, Yale University, a Holy Ghost revival. People were getting sanctified and giving up their liquor and their beer and their cigarettes, and giving up their movie attendance and all kinds of worldly things they were giving up at the Yale University now, not at some little Pentecostal church somewhere, but the Yale University was having an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, great revival. Some of the greatest revivals came in Presbyterian churches. I'll never forget about Duncan Campbell. What an anointed Presbyterian he was. And there are many others of them. Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Catholics even had moves of God in them before they completely backslid to the core. I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Spirit is as real as he ever was. And I'm not giving you something that's a bunch of hogwash. I'm proving everything I'm saying. I wouldn't dare talk to you about something I couldn't prove with the Bible and history. I'm telling you, it's real, and I want it, and I'm going to have it. And I'm going to stay on my face. I'm praying. I'm seeking God like I never have in all my years of being a Christian because I want a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit. I'm nothing. If I was something, I could do it without God. Because I'm nothing, I can only do it by God. See, that's a good proof of when we are nothing. It's when we are utterly dependent on God doing it. And if God don't do it, it don't get done. And that's what the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit's all about. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is doing for the church what the church cannot do for itself. is doing for the spiritual situation of the church world, with the church and all of its education, and all of its great scholars, and all of its money, all of its great cathedrals and temples, and all of its great churches and campuses. I mean, we've got enough property. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming, the property that the church world possesses. And most of it is dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. And we wonder what's wrong with the church. Why is the world leaving the church? Why are people forsaken in the church by the millions all over America? Because the church as a whole is dead. They're tired of that deadness. They want something that's got life in it. They want something that satisfies the human heart. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the moving of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I've never given you better stuff than I'm giving you today. Real truth, real theological beauty, powerful things that are just overwhelming to the human mind and the human heart. And he wants to flood your life with these gifts, supernatural gifts by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I got so much here I can read to you. Let me go back while you call him. Would you grab your phone? Would you really let me hear from you? The lines are open. This booklet is free. I'll send it to anybody out there, okay? Tongues, devilish or divine? Holy Ghost tongues, devilish or divine? Divine or devilish? I like the word divine first. It's available. All you got to do is call. I mean, the number is the same number you call to talk to me. You don't have to call and talk to me if you just want to talk to my secretaries and find out and get them to mail you a copy of this. And then you dig in. You read it. You search the scriptures. You're going to find nothing in it that's not top on the line, right on the Bible, nothing misinterpreted, nothing twisted, just plain truth to change your life and to help you grow up in the things of God, and to become Holy Ghost filled, and to help you pray. I know I got so many things here, and I'm trying to decide which direction to go for your benefit. Let's go to Romans. I love the book of Romans. That's one of the great books of the Bible. And I want to go to chapter 8 and show you something that really is breathtaking. See, the church world is prayerfully inadequate today. Most praying is as dead as a corpse in a casket. Most praying doesn't go beyond the ceiling. It hardly gets to the ceiling because people today are not praying like they used to pray. The Bible says, the book of James, there was a half-brother of the Lord himself, and he said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent. Effectual means biblical. Fervent means red hot with the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember getting saved and people would pray and you'd hear the building roar with the people praying because they prayed. They had anointing. They prayed with unction. They wasn't playing games. They wasn't just trying to be cold, dead religious. They was on fire and it makes a difference. Let me read you this. Paul said it. Now I want you to listen. Don't turn your radio off, please. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Are you listening? Romans 8, 26. For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, if you're like me, you have wonderful times of prayer. And then you have times of praying that is just like standing in front of a brick wall. You're praying, you're doing all you can, but you're getting nowhere. You're just crying out. You're just making words. You're making emotions known. You're expressing feelings. But suddenly, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And the anointing falls on you. And the Spirit of God takes possession of your thought capacities, your inner being. And you begin to pray by the Spirit. You begin to pray by the Holy Ghost. You don't know what you're saying, but He knows. And He's putting what you're saying into your heart so that you're saying what He wants you to say. And did you know, any prayer you pray in the power of the Spirit like this cannot be unanswered. It cannot be ignored. It is flat right. And God is praying it in you. Now, let me read on. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, Paul said, I pray with the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Go read that when the program is over. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says, I pray with the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. In other words, he prays as he thinks, as he feels. Then he prays by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit thinks and the Holy Spirit feels. Oh, Brother Chambers, you're talking something that don't make any sense. It sure don't to people who don't believe the Bible. It sure don't to people who don't believe in the supernatural of God. Oh, it makes no sense if you're hung up on flesh, if all you got's a good religious education, if all you've done is been educated in some seminary by some unbelieving professor who taught you against the great truth of God's Bible. Oh, yeah, you're in a mess. You're in a mess and don't even know it. You're in a mess and don't know how to get out of it. Well, I'll tell you how to get out of it. Get on your knees. Get your Bible and believe what the Bible said. Believe exactly what the Bible said and put your heart in the middle of it. Let me take you to something else in the book of Jude. That's the last book before Revelation. You know who that was written by? It was written by one of the half-brothers of Jesus, Jude. One of the half-brothers of the Son of God. Got saved probably about the time Jesus was crucified. Maybe after Jesus was crucified. Remember, his brothers had not believed in him to start with. But before the church really got organized, they became believers. And nobody knows exactly the moment that they became believers. But probably when he was crucified. Very likely it was after he rose from the dead. I don't know. But I know one thing. See, if you don't believe in the supernatural, you can't even believe in the resurrection. And much of the church don't believe in the resurrection. But Jesus arose from the dead. He arose and ascended right up to heaven and is sitting at the Father's right hand. His blood that he spilled on that cross was put on the altar in heaven. The blood of Jesus is on the altar in heaven. And that altar right in there in that sanctuary is an extension of that altar in heaven. An extension. And the same thing that it is powerful on that altar in heaven is powerful on that altar in that sanctuary. See, when you understand this, when this gets a hold of you, it moves you into a different realm. It does. It changes everything about you. And I want you so much to get this and let it become a part of you. Sometimes people listen to me a while and I get in this realm of the supernatural. Now, I don't believe in that. They just want natural stuff. Well, you don't want to go to heaven then, because heaven is a supernatural world. You'll have a brand new body, can't be sick, can't die. You don't want that? You don't believe in the supernatural? Well, then you're crazy. If all you want is the natural, because the natural's going to go to hell. Do you understand that? The natural isn't going to heaven. And I'm trying to get you to heaven. I want you in heaven. Let me read that verse in Jude. It says, but ye beloved. Notice that. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. Don't just be a baby. Building up. Don't just be immature. Grow up. Don't just be an uneducated moron. Learn. Get in the middle of things. Learn the truth of God. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that beautiful? See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit with the language of tongues, especially the language of unknown tongues, praying through you, straight to the throne room, right into the heavenly temple, bypassing every demon, every devil, every liar, every cheat, everything contrary to God's will and word and way. I mean, bypassing all of it, straight to God. Now, I know by now I've got a bunch of you bothered, maybe bothered, but some of you hungry. You'd love to have this. You'd love to be full of the Holy Ghost. Well, in about 7 minutes, I'm going to have a prayer time for people who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray that right during this program, people will start receiving the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, I'm not a man of authority, but this Bible is a book of authority. Well, I am a man of authority when I live by the Bible, but I don't want you to trust in my authority. I want you to trust in this Bible, the authority of the Scripture. And I want you to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to become Holy Ghost filled all over Charlotte. There are people I know all over Charlotte, people I love with all of my heart. I know one lady, she's a doctor's wife, and she's a dear woman. I'm not going to call her name. She knows what I'm talking about. She was raised in Pentecost. I don't know whether she ever received the baptism. I don't know whether she has the baptism. But if she doesn't, the Holy Ghost will fill her today. He'll come right there and baptize her. I know her husband is a Baptist, but he'll get over it if she gets good and full of the Holy Ghost, because it is wonderful and it is real. And you need this baptism. If you don't have this baptism, you're spiritually helpless. You're really spiritually helpless, and it worries me. See, when you get the filling of the Holy Ghost, the healer is inside of you, and he's able to heal you. He's able to make you perfectly well and perfectly whole. I'm waiting on God to heal my eyes. I'm reading my clock better today than I've read it in a long time. And I'm believing God to perfectly heal my eyes and perfectly heal my ears so I can spend the next 20 years if Jesus tarries. Now, when Jesus comes, I'm gone. Are you listening to me? When Jesus comes, I don't want another day on this earth. I want to go up in that rapture. I really do. But I want to labor till he does come. And I want you to get full of this wonderful Holy Ghost. Now grab your phone and call me. Let me help you, okay? Let me help get you ready. How can I get ready for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost? Well, here's how. Call me. And let me tell you what this book says. When you get fully committed to Christ, when you get fully set apart in the godly life, you give up the world and worldly conduct and get ready to go to church regular. I don't believe in Christians who don't have to go to church. You can't be a happy Christian if you don't go to God's house. He has chosen and decided by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Don't call me and tell me what a great Christian you are when you're too lazy to go to church. I'm getting old. I'm getting old too. And I stay young by loving Jesus and walking close to him. You can do the same thing. And he'll heal you if you let him. He'll heal you if you let him. Are you hearing me? I hope you are. Because I really do care. I'm reaching out to you. I'm laying the truth out there for you. I'm saying things that everywhere in the world, if you're in Australia, you need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're up in Ukraine, you need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're in Guyana, you need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're in South Africa. You're in Australia. You're in England. You're in any of those nations of Europe. You're in France. You're in Germany. Wherever you are, it don't matter. You need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're in South America, boy, some places you really need a double. I mean, you really need a double. Nations are going to hell in a basket. America is so close. If we don't defeat the liberals and the so-called progressives, they're nothing but a bunch of communists anymore. They want America to be turned into a communist world where the government does everything. And we just become, you know, placid. What's the right word? We become just given to the government and they rule us. Oh, I don't want it. I'd rather die than be part of a Karl Marx kind of world, a communist world. I want the liberty to live for God like I'm doing, and I believe we're going to keep it. God's going to help us. We've got a good president working in that direction. That's why they hate him so bad. Woo, how they hate him. But they hate me. There ain't any of you Bible-believing conservatives. If you're a Bible-believing conservative, yeah, they could consider you as being, you know, ignorant and unlearned. And they make all kinds of noises and statements like that. But they're not going to stop me and you, are they? How many out there with me? Let's get filled with the Holy Ghost so we've got power to stop them. No power in America could change the direction of this society like a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. If we would experience the mighty moving of the Holy Spirit in this nation and have a new awakening like they had at the Yale University, like they had in Africa at times, like they had under Campbell Duncan. I mean, there's just so many, Duncan Campbell, I'm sorry, so many great men, Dwight L. Moody. I mean, Finish Dake. I said the wrong name there. What was his name? Charles Finney. Got it. Presbyterian, by the way. I'm here to tell you, friend, God wants to give us a Holy Ghost visitation. Are you ready? Now, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for prayer. I want everybody out there anywhere in the world to sit down to your computer, your telephone, your radio, whatever you're at. Telephone, Facebook, computer, whatever. I want you to sit down. And I want us to talk a minute. I want to get you hearing what Brother Chambers has got to say. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't learn to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, your children are never going to be saved. Never going to be saved. They're going to spend eternity in hell. They're going to be left here for the great tribulation. I got some in the same shape. I got unbelieving grandkids that are going to be left here for the dark tribulation if I don't help them. And I'm on my face weeping and sobbing and praying, putting everything I got in helping them, believing God to break through in their lives. And I'm telling you, you can't pray continuously, hour after hour. Oh, 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day. Anybody out there that would start praying 1 hour a day and you would pray with all you would pour your heart into it. Don't pray like a dead person. Pray like a living saint. Raise your voice and say, God, I'm ready. The Bible said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Get wrath out of your heart. Get the doubts out of your heart. Start believing this book and start praying like an old-fashioned godly saint. You'll get results. I promise you. It won't take long. Maybe a few months. Sometimes people have prayed a year, 2 years, 3 years, and finally they'd break through, and it would be just plain like a tornado, like a Holy Ghost tornado, like a whirlwind of God's mighty power. Well, do you have a question? Are you listening to me? I know. I'm trying my best to stir you up and get you on your knees and get you praying. And you got to give up this world now. You can't live a godless life, an unclean life. You say, well, my preacher says we all sin more or less every day. Yes, and you check his life, he probably sins more instead of less. I mean, I'm telling you, that's not biblical. That's not biblical. You get saved, you're not going to want to live in sin. You're going to want to live for Christ and do the things that please him. Now, before we pray, I'm going to read that verse again. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me take you to Mark, the book of Mark. Do you know what the book of Mark says? And these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. You got the message? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. In his name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall, notice that, they shall speak with new tongues. I mean, that's as plain as you can get it, friend. That's as plain. You really get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you will speak in tongues. No ifs and ands. And if you stay full of the Holy Ghost, you will keep on speaking in tongues. And if you haven't spoken in tongues in 10 years, you haven't had the Holy Ghost in 10 years. Because if he's there, he's going to do some talking. If he's there, he's going to do some talking. God gives you the Holy Ghost so that his power in you can stay in communication with God the Father on his throne. Now, you can talk to God in the natural. We should do both. Paul said, I speak in tongues with my own understanding, and I pray in the Spirit. He even said, I sing in tongues and sing in the Holy Ghost. You know, the first sign I remember that convinced me Pentecost was real was a blessed old godly woman. And this is 66 plus years ago in the East Burlington Church of God, who would sing in the Holy Ghost. Her name was Sister Feist. And she sat over on the right, second pew back, in the end, next to the wall. And she'd begin to sing in the Holy Ghost. But I was just 16 years old. Woo, that thrilled my heart. I knew it was real. I knew from hearing her that I wanted that baptism of the Holy Ghost. And quite often, the Holy Spirit comes on me and I sing in the Spirit. I think I carry a better tune when I sing in the Spirit than when I sing in the flesh, because I've never been a good singer. My wife was a darling singer. But friend, I'm telling you, this Holy Ghost experience is real. And I want you so much to have this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I got to take you to Acts when it all began. This is when it all started. Acts chapter 2. You know, you've heard the scripture. So much of the church world. Why does anybody, how could anybody deny anything as beautiful as the day of Pentecost? The book of Acts, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. Filled all the house wherein upon each of them. And filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. And they're all amazed and marvel, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? And these are all Galileans. They were all speaking in different languages, so that everybody gathered in Jerusalem for this great feast of Pentecost could hear somebody speaking in their language. And so every language was being heard by the people as the Holy Spirit fell on that day of Pentecost. That's as plain as I can make it. Now, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God wants to baptize you. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Don't even think about receiving the baptism until you're born again. Have you been set apart? Have you give up the world and cleaned up your life? Have you broke your liquor bottles and threw away your cigarette packs? Got rid of your snuff and your chewing tobacco? Got rid of all your fornicating and careless living? You've quit lying and cheating and stealing. You pay your bills. You pay your debts. You go to church. You love your Bible. You live a clean, godly life. You started paying your tithes. Oh, yeah, you're going to pay your tithes if you live right. And you're living right. But you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Would you like to receive the baptism today? You say, Brother Chambers, can you give it to me? No. The Holy Spirit alone can give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if you'll give your all to God and you'll put your life on the altar, you'll give up the world. You'll say, this temple is no longer my temple. This is his temple. See, the Bible said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price, the Bible said. Bought with a price. Calvary has paid the price for you. The blood of Jesus is your password. The blood of Jesus is your cleansing power. The blood of Jesus has made a new person out of you. And you can be filled with the sweet Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the sweet Holy Ghost. Father, I bring you my great audience. Wonderful people. I love them. Many of them are just faithful to me. Faithful to you, God. Faithful to the Bible. Faithful to the church, the pastor. And I bring them to you, Father. And I'm asking you to move over this radio audience and pour out your Holy Spirit. Even while I'm praying, woo, let somebody receive this wonderful baptism. Help them to turn their life over to you. Fling wide open their heart. No longer am I retaining this heart for me. I want it for God. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want Him to rule my life. I want to hear the Holy Spirit using my tongue to speak the languages of the world, especially the unknown tongues, the language of God. And I'm giving myself to you, God. I'm putting all of me on the altar, and I'm turning me over to Christ. And Christ is going to be the Lord of my life. Christ is going to be the Lord of my life. Now, you've got to hear me. Christ has got to be the Lord. He cannot be the Lord of something else, be the Lord of your life, and then you feel the Holy Spirit. No, He fills you because you're His. You're His. You've surrendered everything to Him. Now, let's give ourselves to Him. Are you ready? Lord, I give myself to You. Lord, I'm yielding all my friends. I'm praying for them. Make Yourself so real. Visit that home. Visit that place in the automobile. Visit wherever they may be. Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit will come with mighty power upon lots of people. And they can call me and say, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost today. He's ready to do it. If you're clean and surrendered, He's ready to do it. His love and grace will cover you like a blanket. And you'll have more joy than you ever knew was possible, my friend. You will be a brand new person. You will be a different person. And your life will be powerful and wonderful. And I claim it. Oh, I'm claiming the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our church. I'm claiming God moving like a mighty river across our congregation. I'm claiming the great work of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I'm claiming heaven's best in our midst. It's not devilish, it's divine. The Bible is plain. You can't get nothing devilish out of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You've heard the things I read. There's no way you can deny them. There's no way to doubt them. They're real. They're real. I know having those words in front of you, but I want you to know that God is everything you need, my friend. God is everything you need, my friend. He cares about you. He cares about you. You're important to Him. He loves you. And something got on my screen, and I'm trying to get rid of it. What in the world? Jesus is everything you need, my friend. Jesus is everything you need. He will never fail you. He will never let you down. Oh, there it is. He will never let you down. He loves you, friend. Now, listen, I love you. What a joy to come to you today. Share this wonderful truth with you. Sorry about that. Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe I just saw it. I don't know. But I want to tell you He's coming, and He's coming soon. I want you to get ready for this baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to be so full. I want you to be so full that He can start working in your life. He can do beautiful things in you. He can make you dynamite. He can make you usable. You'll be a blessing to your church. You'll turn your church upside down. Be here tomorrow morning at Paul Creek. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I really am. Bless your heart. Well, I'm supposed to be with music there. Where is it? Come on, music.
In your Bible.
Now, come on, friend. I want you to get so full of God. The book of... that's not... Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong thing there. Here it is. Come in now. Come in now. God bless you. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to be ready. Well, I don't know what that was. God bless you. You've been wonderful. A joy to be with you today. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He loves you much.
We'll sing it anyway. October the 13th.
Hallelujah. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful.
And you were just 6 years old, raised in church.
Well, I'm telling you, I really messed up with music here.
Did what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe that there is healing in the touch
Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the lowest sin, sick soul, have life anew and be made pure, pure and whole. But I have felt him loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. Oh, yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Let's worship. Oh, I believe that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe that there is healing in the touch of his hand. Of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Think about these words.